Exodus number 2. It says there in verse number 38, I'll read a few verses to you. Starting there in verse number 38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they glad to receive the word, they that glad to receive the word were baptized. The same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfast. I can't imagine being the ones doing the baptizing. They're baptizing 3,000 people. And that gets tiring after a while. Everybody get a little pruny after a while. Anyway. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. First sermon I preached here back in May when I got here, I preached at Acts chapter 1, one chapter back, preached on the ingredients for a godly church. I still believe every word I said back then, a couple months ago, I said their company was right, their questions were right, their outlook was right, and their fellowship was right. I still believe that. They had all those things in place, and that church there had them right. The Lord, they were doing right. The Lord's using them. The Lord here in this passage is about to bless the church abundantly, bless the church. He's about to let it grow by leaps and bounds. The Lord has blessed our church here lately. We may not be growing by leaps and bounds, but we're growing a lot, growing more than I've seen, growing more in this church than I've ever seen in the church I've been in. The Lord's blessing. And that's a blessing. That's an encouragement. But it's also a red flag to me to make sure that we're still standing right and we're not wavering, not giving up anything. We're not going back. I want to preach on back in May. Church, it would be easier now than ever to backslide and give up some things. The Lord is winning. The devil is fighting. And he's fighting hard and doing everything he can to tear his church apart. But the Lord's still winning. The devil's going to continue to do everything he can to tear his church apart. I had a young preacher in Bible college one time sitting across the table from him. And he slipped me a note. I still have it in my Bible back there. He said, if Satan can't tear you down, he'll puff you up. And I believe he's right. It stuck with me. I hadn't been able to forget that. You probably heard the illustration before of a dead possum, dead animal on the side of the road, possum, deer, anything on the side of the road. Back in North Carolina, it gets hot. It's hot and humid right now there. I'm glad I'm not there. You drive past the dead possum on the side of the road in the morning, it's one size. Drive back in the afternoon, it's another size, a little bit bigger. Go back 2 days later, it looks like a balloon about to bust. It's nasty. It's blowed up. Let me ask you something. Is that possum growing? Yes, yeah, growing. Does that mean it's alive and well? Of course not. He did. Somebody said that. It's not the outward size of it that makes it alive. It's not the fact that it's changing in size that makes it alive. It's what's on the inside that's working together or not working together that changes the fact of whether it's alive or not. The Lord's not going to preach just a few minutes on. I'm not going to take too much time. Preach a few minutes on. Are you growing or are you swelling? An anthill grows. An ant bite swells. A beehive grows. A bee sting swells. You can keep going. A spider will grow. A spider bite will swell. What's the difference? The second one's full of poison. Church, Satan will do everything he can to puff us up, but fill us up with the poison of pride or different things. He'll fill us up with it. A young deer will grow. Like I said, a dead deer will also grow. Dead deer will swell. You leave a cup of milk on the counter, come back a couple days later and see what's swelling inside of that. It's getting bigger. Break one of your fingers and see what happens. It'll swell up. My point is, just because something's getting bigger does not mean it's growing and does not mean it's a good thing. It's important that you make sure everything on the inside is still working like it's supposed to be working. Whether it's getting bigger or not doesn't not matter. What's on the inside is what counts. We have to be careful we do not allow pride to come in. We have to be careful we don't get the attitude that God's blessing us so we can quit going and we can quit doing and quit doing certain things. We have to be careful that what's on the inside is not turned to poison, because then you're just going to start swelling and eventually you're going to blow up. Eventually, everything inside will quit. And it'll burst somewhere. The pressure's got to go somewhere, and it's going to be nasty, and you're not going to look at it. It's going to be a mess, and nobody's going to be able to forget it. I'm not trying to be nasty or vulgar, and I probably sound like I do. I just want to try to get the picture here. Why do you think the devil is fighting us so hard? Because God's doing something here. God's trying to do something here. And He's working. And He's doing things. People are getting saved. Why do you think Satan's trying so hard to get us to quit? And if He can't tear us down, if tearing us down is not going to work, He's going to try to puff us up and tear us apart that way. We're either growing or we're swelling. We've got to be careful. We've got to be careful. We make the distinction there. This church here, the first church experienced some growth. They grew, if you look it up, the math there, grew about 2,500% in one service. The Lord blessed that church. The Lord grew that church, obviously. The church is still working. Church stayed right. I'm going to get to that later on. What they believe in Acts chapter 1, they still believe in Acts chapter number 2. God still blessed them. They still spread the gospel. They're still sending out missionaries. And the pattern for the Baptist church was handed down from generation to generation from these people here because they stayed right. So it's easy to see they got some things right. Let's see what we can learn from this church here just in these few short verses. Number one, they were a church that was saved by faith. Simply, Acts 2:38. And Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words that he testified and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they gladly received his word. First qualification then, just as it is now, was for the church then to be saved, and members of the church were to be saved by faith. God forbid we start opening the door to membership. People aren't saved. First qualification of the church is those that should be saved. That should be our first goal, is get people saved. I don't think we have a problem here, but we better be careful it doesn't start becoming a problem. The church, I said before, the church grew by 2,500%, and their main concern was still seeing souls saved by faith. Every one of those 3,000 souls were saved by faith. They were sorry for what they did to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they repented, they got things right, and they were saved. Church, don't let us ever forget the reason we are here. There's some people nowadays that push the easy believism, the 1, 2, 3, repeat after me prayers. I'm here to tell you it doesn't work. It's not true salvation. If repentance is not present, you're not saved. You have to turn from something to the Lord. That's what repentance is, doing a 180, turning from sin to Christ. We have to be careful. We do not forget this simple part here, saved by faith. No repentance, no salvation. I still believe that's right. I don't care if I spend eight hours on Sunday trying to get through somebody's head that they have to repent to be saved. I'll spend as much time as it takes to get them to believe. I can't save them. I'm not going to save them. I can't do it if I wanted to. If I could do it, believe me, I would. I'll save everybody I met. It's not of me. It's between them and Christ. It's personal salvation by faith. Make sure we don't forget that. They were saved by faith. They were separated by baptism. Verse number 41. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They were still concerned about the ordinance set forth by Jesus Christ. They still cared not only for the actual salvation by faith, they were still also concerned about the commandments, ordinances set forth by Jesus Christ. Just because they had 3,000 people there didn't mean they forgot about baptism. I believe we ought to always be concerned with God's ordinances for the church. It's not old-fashioned. It's not outdated. It's truth. It's God's commandments. It's God's ordinances. I've seen some churches nowadays have a bunch of people saved, easy believism. I saw a big picture video of them out in front of the church with a big fire. Everybody lined up in straight line, and they got fire hose out and sprayed the whole people. They were baptizing the whole congregation. So baptism is still complete submersion. It's maybe old-fashioned. It may have been around a long time. It's still right. Doesn't matter how many people there are. Doesn't matter how fast you grow or how big you get. You ought to stay steadfast in the baptism. Baptism by total water submersion is biblical. It paints a picture of Jesus' life, burial, and resurrection. There's a reason for it. It's important. Didn't matter how fast they grew. They didn't forget about that. They were sound in their doctrine. Verse number 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What an epidemic we have nowadays of churches getting big and then falling away from what they used to believe. They start allowing more contemporary music in, and then they start changing what the Bible they use and going with the newer version, more contemporary, more easy-to-read version. The church here, in the Scripture here, they were steadfast in their doctrine, steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Didn't matter how many showed up, they stayed the same. The word steadfastly means to persevere or to hold diligently to. They held diligently to the doctrine they had been taught. Didn't matter how many they were, they held to it. What a temptation we have to start letting things slip. It's so much easier for me to preach happy messages and pat everybody on the back, tell them they're okay, and pat them on the back and ship them out the door. That's a whole lot easier for me to do. That is not what God told me to do, and I'm not gonna. By God's grace, I'm not gonna do that. They held steadfast to their doctrine. They did not waver on it. If we want to grow like God wants us to grow, it's going to take a church who is willing to hold steadfastly to the doctrine they've held the entire time, no matter how many people were here. I'm not here to change. With God's help, I'm not going to change what I believe on His Word. I'm not going to do it. With God's grace, I'm not going to say that pridefully. By God's grace, I'm not going to change. They were sound in their doctrine. They were strong in their fellowship. Second part of verse number 42. And they could continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Not only were steadfast in doctrine, obviously, verse says, steadfast in fellowship. They didn't break the fellowship of the church because the new ones came in. They didn't form certain cliques in the church, push others out. We have this friend over here, and these people have that friend over here. That's not going to work. Doesn't matter how many people were in the church. They continued steadfast in their fellowship, the entire church fellowshipping. I've seen that damage go on in churches, cliques, have friends over here, and they don't talk to these people over here, and these people here don't talk to those people over there. It's dangerous, and it's a problem. We better be careful that doesn't happen. I haven't seen that in this church here. I haven't seen it. If you're doing it, you're hiding it from me. Keep hiding it. I don't want to see it. We've got to be careful that doesn't start. Steadfast. Strong in their fellowship. They're steadfast in their worship. Another part of verse number 42. And in breaking of bread. They were steadfast in their worship. They didn't let growth change the way they worshiped God. They didn't change their services. They didn't change the way they did things. They were steadfast in their worship, steadfast in the way they served God, steadfast in the way they worshiped God. They didn't start coming apart and meeting here and there. Stayed together as a church. Didn't form cliques. Stayed together in their fellowship. Stayed together in their doctrine. And stayed together in their worship. Lastly, as far as that verse 42, they stayed together in their prayers. Steadfast in their prayers. Church, God forbid we ever get too big or too busy to come together for prayer. You ever heard that phrase, a family that prays together, stays together? Everybody's heard that. I believe that goes the same for a church family. Church family that prays together will stay together. The Lord blesses prayer. The Lord wants us to pray. The Lord honors that in the church. And if you're not careful, we can fall away from that, get too busy with our programs, get too busy with the entertainment, and forget about why we're here to commune and fellowship with God Almighty. They were steadfast in their prayer. They're sanctified in life. Verse number 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. It says fear came upon every soul. Not just every soul in the church. I believe that means every soul that saw the wonders and signs being done by the apostles. Second part of the verse. Every soul came under the fear. Every soul was afraid of what was amazed, had a reverence for, a fear of what God was able to do. People feared what God was going to do through these disciples. What He was doing, what He was going to do through the disciples. On the day of Pentecost, Peter charged the Jews with crucifying Jesus. They repented, got things right. Then the disciples started doing amazing things. The Lord allowed them to do signs and wonders. I'm not going to get into that tonight. That's not for today. That's a different message entirely. Signs and wonders are not for today. Those are past. Has been completed. Scripture has been completed. We no longer need the signs and wonders. Anyway, they were afraid of what God was going to do. They had reverential fear of what God was doing. They were sanctified. They were able to be used. Church, what could God do through us if we were just willing and able to be used? Had our life cleaned up, sanctified, set apart so God could use us. What could God do through us? God used these disciples. Use the disciples to change every soul's attitude about what the church was doing. What could God do through us? They were sanctified in life. They were sold on the gospel. Verse number 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold the possessions of goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. These people in this church were sold out on the idea of the church and sold out on Jesus Christ and sold out on the gospel. They were so much in tune with what God was doing, so excited about what God was doing in the church. They sold everything they had, joined it all together. Now, I'm not telling you to go sell your house tonight because I don't have anywhere to put you to sleep. You ain't sleeping in my living room. I'm not telling you to do that tonight. God will honor those who are willing to give whatever He asks of them for the sake of the gospel. God will bless you. We support missionaries. I'm like, well, all those missionaries there sold everything they had, sold their possessions, shipped off to another foreign country, another part of our country, shipped off to do the work of the Lord, shipped off to do the work what God had them to do. They were sold on the gospel, and God's blessing them for that. God will bless us if we're willing to sell out, give everything we can. Whatever God tells us to give, give it for Him. Not everybody can ship off to the foreign field. Not everybody can do that, but you ought to be willing to. We all ought to be willing to go if God tells us to go. They were sold on the gospel. They were singing from the heart, verse number 46. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They'd eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. First part of verse number 47, praising God. These people continued on with praising of God. They weren't prideful. They didn't smite their chest and say, oh, look how big of a church we built. It wasn't about them. It wasn't anything they did. They were praising God for what God had done. I think we've forgotten that a lot of times in churches nowadays, praising God for what He's done. We look, point a lot at the people in charge, what they've done. It's nothing of, I tell you right now, in the past year, but it's nothing of what I've done worth blessing this church. It's not me. I promise you that. It's nothing of me. We've got to be praising God for what He's done. It's nothing of you either. God's blessing us. You've got to praise Him for it. Don't ever get too big to thank God for what He's doing. Because if you do, I promise you, He'll bring you down a little bit. They were praising, no matter how big they were, church of 3,120 people and souls added daily to the church. 3,120 people at least, just to start out with. And they're still praising God for how He blessed them. They were singing from the heart. Lastly, they were successful in witness. Verse number 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. God used these people and continued on working for God. Lord added to the church daily. Daily they saw people saved. Yeah, can you imagine daily seeing people saved and added to the church? I can't imagine that. What a revival took place here. What a blessing that must have been for those people there. The difference is the Lord added daily. It wasn't the people there doing it. They were just faithful what Lord told them to do. They were successful in witness because they were willing to be used of God. God used them. It says, Mr. Arlene mentioned today, it says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. These people here, Jesus Christ, some coming forward, had planted. Peter had watered. God gave the increase. Some have planted here, others have watered, but God's given the increase here. If we're not careful, we'll get prideful. If we're not careful, we'll start slowing up on the inside, giving up on it, quitting, dying on the inside, coming apart, coming, separating ourselves, changing our doctrine, changing our worship. And the Lord's not going to bless that. Are we growing and are we swelling? It's important to make sure that everything on the inside is working together. I'll show you one more thing I think is the key here to all this entire passage. I skipped part of verse number 46 and get back to that. Turn back to Acts chapter 1. It's one chapter back. Verse number 14. Says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brethren. Right after Jesus has left, He's ascended up into heaven. They all continued with one accord. It says there were about 120 of them there, all in one accord. That's a big Honda, all in one accord. They're all together. I'll get that later on. They're all working together, all in one accord. Jesus has left, didn't split them up. They're all in one accord. Chapter number 2, verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. As they've elected a new disciple to add to the 12, one to take over Judas' spot. You can read, I'm going to go through that, but the last part of chapter 1, there were two men, two elected to be the new disciple, and they voted on which one would get to be it. One of them was a new disciple, one was not. Yet you still see him, they're all still in one accord, all still working together. Later on, you can find that man still in the church, still working. He didn't get mad and quit because he wasn't chosen. He didn't kick the church because they didn't pick him as a disciple. They were all still one in one accord. Jesus left, they stayed. They voted on new disciples. They're still all together in one accord, staying together in one accord, in one mind. Back to chapter number 2, verse number 46. The day of Pentecost has come. 3,000 have been saved. Daily, more and more are being added to the church. Verse number 46. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. The church has grown tremendously, more than we could ever imagine. The Lord has blessed them, the Lord has used them. The church in Acts chapter 1 was in one accord. Church in Acts number 2 was in one accord. The church in the last part of Acts chapter number 2 was all still in one accord. You know the secret, the reason they're able to grow and able to be used and not swell, not coming apart, not blowing up. They were also having the same mind, also there for the same purpose, also there in one accord, and the Lord blessed them. The secret, the church growth, don't change what you believe. They're all in one accord. They didn't change their mind. They're all stayed in one accord. We have a business meeting coming up. I'm going to be honest with you, I'm kind of nervous about it. We're going to continue on with one accord. We aren't going to argue, not going to complain. We're not going to argue or complain. I'm telling you right now, we're not going to argue and complain. We're all going to be with one accord. Lord will bless this church if we keep Satan out of it. I preached Sunday night how powerful Satan is and how he's trying his best to get into the church. And we witnessed how Satan's fighting this church and doing his best to tear his church apart. I'm telling you right now, we got to be careful that we're all in one accord and one mind here for the same purpose, to see souls saved, see souls added to the church, and doing a work for God. If we're not careful, we're going to come apart, change the way we do things, come apart. We're going to start swelling up, blowing up, blistering up, and it's just going to be nasty. Very simply. Are we growing or are we swelling? There's a difference. There's a big difference. You got to be careful. Let's pray.